Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wished for something with all your heart, but didn't have the words or the vision to call it into existence? Don't feel like a lone ranger. There are countless souls wandering around aimlessly, looking for their missing pieces in life that will complete their big picture of living an abundant, radiant, and thriving life. Today, each and every person suffers from I.O., information overload. We are bombarded with never-ending words. However, I.O. leaves us asking, now what? Where do I go from here? Where do you go to consciously find your way to receive the answers you desire, to improve your life, health status, your proper lifestyle, your family's health and welfare, is to the now what, where do I go from here? The Star Waters and Sandy Rogers Show, airing each Thursday from 2 to 3:30 p.m., is where you'll find your answers. Star and Sandy know how confusing it is having this expert or that health professional barking at you with their opinions of what they know you should be eating, which pill for every ill is just right for you, or what you should be thinking about the availability of your time when it comes to providing healthy food for you and your loved ones. When you are constantly convinced that you lack the time to prepare your own food made with ingredients you purposely add and know it is safe and nutritious, you are now being programmed to eat fast, eat processed, because you're too busy. Don't believe the hype. Together, these wellness advocates will provide cutting-edge information, straight no chasers, to educate you and give you the words and vision to ask the question, now what? Where do I go from here?
Hey, everybody. Greetings. Welcome to Now What? Where do I go from here? And you know, you've got two lively moderators, Star Waters and Sandy Rogers. And together, man, we have a lot of years of overturning diseases that the doctors proclaimed would kill us, or we would at least have to take a pill for it the rest of our lives. And so we understand this healing modality. And so let me give you our other names as well. So Star Waters is known as the Wellness Wizard. And me, Sandy Rogers, they also call me the Wellness Gangster. So that just gives you a little idea of how we approach this thing. We have the answers, and we also know people that got the answers. So there's a couple of things that we do before we get started with our program. And we give thanks to our ancestors, to all of our ancestors. Man, they've blessed us with so many gifts, and they are constantly bestowing blessings upon us, and so we're thankful for that. We stand on the shoulders of our ancestors for strength, for knowledge, for fortitude, for resilience, for just having what we need, for courage, for bravery, for all of that. And so, ancestors, we thanks and we need you now, and we give thanks for you. We reach out to you. We know that your golden wisdom to health and wellness is being revealed to us through what you're sharing. And so for that, we're eternally, eternally grateful. Whew. So thank you, ancestors. I feel them in the house. How about you, Star?
Elders, yes, indeed. They are here with us to bring forth the message. Yes, yes, yes. Ashe, 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 oh.
Ashe, oh. Woo. So we appreciate you being with us today. I'm going to invite you to be live on air with us if you would like to ask any type of questions, you have any comments, or just want to appreciate the work that's being done. So you can do that by calling in at 516-531-9819, and you would just press 1 on your dial to let us know that you want to speak live on air with us. And just make sure that once we open up your line during the time that you don't have any words to share with us, that you mute your phone, because the microphones are extremely sensitive, and we have lots of people that come back and listen to the show over and over again. So we appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you have talked about how many years we have experienced doing what we do, thinking to myself, there she go again, trying to put my age out there on the air. You know, I had to chuckle a little bit, but you're right, gosh darn it. Between the two of us, we're looking at probably close to, what, about 70 years of experience, life experience.
Baby. It's 100 years between us.
Here I go, trying to keep the real truth from being told. Okay. All right. Whew. All right. I'm waiting on you, Miss Sandy.
You're waiting on me. All right. I thought you had an inspirational thought for us, but otherwise,
sure.
we can get.
Of course I do.
Okay.
But you go ahead. Tell me when you want me to do it, because I'm ready. I got that already.
You plug in right here. Go ahead on, my
okay.
sister.
All right. Okay. Education is your passport for the future. For tomorrow belongs to the people who prepare for it today. And that is a quotation from El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, also known as Malcolm X. Education is not limited to the classroom. It takes place in the kitchen, on the corner, as you ride or walk the nation, when you listen or speak to others, or in silence in your bedroom. Education springs forth from books, songs, children, elders, women, men, podcasts, videos, and documentaries. It rises from victory, tragedy, joy, and suffering. Education does not take place when you learn something you did not know before. Education is your ability to use what you have learned to be better today than you were yesterday. No matter how much you know or how you learn it, the ultimate goal of education is to give you greater insight on yourself. And the affirmation says, I am educating the world about me. And that comes from Acts of Faith by Ayanla Van Zandt.
Absolutely beautiful. Very appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
A gift from our Creator this morning while I was doing my morning rituals. So you're welcome.
Yeah, and you know how awesome it is, so that everything just lines up. You know, there's never any worry as long as you just allow spirit to work through you. And so that's what happens when we allow ourselves to be open to receiving. What did you say? It's called education. That was beautiful. Absolutely. So I would like to welcome our esteemed guest, a young spirit who is just so full of life and energy. If you saw my post on Facebook, I called her brave and courageous and extremely talented. And her name is Jasmine, I wrote it down because you know me, Leyva. It's L-E-Y-V-A, Leyva. And so Miss Leyva is a filmmaker and she's an actress. She's based in my hometown of Los Angeles, California. She holds a Bachelor of Arts in TV, film, and media, and she has a Master's of Fine Arts in screenwriting. So Jasmine has worked as an associate producer on the NAACP award-winning docuseries Unsung and was subsequently a writer and producer for Being, a docuseries highlighting dynamic entertainers in film and music. She was also an associate producer for a variety of unscripted television. So in front of the camera, Jasmine has appeared in commercials and print ads for major brands including American Express, Apple, BlackPeopleMeet.com, Credit Sesame, Diesel, Elle Magazine, Michelle Watches, Uber, and more. So Jasmine starred in the Lifetime show My Crazy Ex along with other TV projects. So in 2019, Jasmine and Kenny Leyva released their own feature-length documentary, The Invisible Vegan, a film that chronicles Jasmine's personal experience with plant-based eating. The film also explains how plant-based eating is directly linked to African roots and how African-American eating habits have been debased by a chain of oppression stemming from slavery, economic inequality, and modern agribusiness. The film has received a wealth of acclaim, including recognition from U.S. Senator Cory Booker. She currently teaches media via media writing at California State University, Northridge. Okay, and she is a pre-production for two new self-produced projects. So, like I said, she's talented, she's courageous, she's bold, and she's brave. She's got a lot going on. Oh, my goodness. Welcome to our show, Jasmine.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Yay.
Yes. I tell
you. Thank you for accepting our invitation so quickly. And, gee, we're just happy that you're here.
Well, I'm happy that I could be here. And honestly, with COVID, it's just like, well, what would I be doing anyway right now? It's the perfect time. We all sitting at home. Why not?
Helping to educate folks. That's
right.
What you're doing.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And that's very important because guess what? We have their ears. Where are they got to go?
Right. We all at home. Let's do this.
Oh, awesome. Well, I just want to say before we get started that Jasmine and I have known each other now since November, and we spent some wonderful days together in Washington State at a plant-based retreat / conference at, a lodge. I keep forgetting the name of the lodge. Anyway, in Washington State, and Jasmine presented her work through her video there. And I was just so thrilled to meet her. Not only is she talented, but she is beautiful and kind as well. So we just adopted each other, and I just love you so much, and I'm just so happy that you're here to lend your expertise, your voice, to our listening audience. So thank you very much again, Jasmine.
Of course. And, yeah, we did. We had a it was a little group of us at the retreat. And, you know, when I first met Star, she just greeted me with love. I would see her, I think, after the first 2 days, like when I would see her in the morning, we hugged each other. So it was like we were family from day three.
Yes, absolutely. And let me clarify what us is. Us is people that look alike. What do you think? Maybe there were like about 300 people there, or am I maybe over exaggerating? But there
I think that's right.
Yeah, right. So, and it was like about 7 of us, and that included attendees to the conference as well as the esteemed speakers and professionals, Jasmine being one of those. And so we were definitely invisible vegans, so to speak. So that was pretty cool that we were able to bond together and hold our little group there and stand in the power of us supporting each other while still being available for questions or conversations with others. We still rally together, and I really appreciated that. I really do. So thank you. Thank all the rest of the people that were there. And so thanks a lot again. So, Sandy, I'm handing it back over to you, my sister.
Well, you know, I think what you were saying with the attendance at the conference adds more credence to the reason why Jasmine chose to do the Invisible Vegan. And Star, it reminds me of the time when you said your first introduction to eating plant-based, you thought the young lady had gone out of her mind and wanted you to give up meat. And so with that, I'd like to just kind of get into, Jasmine, what drives you, what motivates you to do the type of work that you do?
So I come from Washington, D.C. That's where I was born and raised. And in D.C., there's a spirit of Black excellence. You know, there's a spirit of wanting to be successful, wanting to be great, wanting to be your best. And one thing I noticed, I just noticed in my community, there was a lack of that. I didn't see that same spirit applied to how we take care of ourselves. Like, you know, how we're not exercising like we should. We're not eating like we should. We're getting too caught up in convenience and not being, and not rising to the standard of being our best. And so I just really thought about, okay, why is that? And when I looked at a lot of the, you know, health messages in mainstream media, I'm like, wow, none of this stuff is really geared towards us. And even though there are a lot of people, you know, there are a lot of people of color who are pushing the message of health, those people weren't always put in the forefront. So I wanted to do a project where I did put those people in the forefront so other people in my community could get the message that they've been left out of for so long.
Yeah, we noticed that we did a project back in 2018 called Life, Love, and Wellness Global, a worldwide wellness movement where people of color, and this is not to discredit anyone else that is a part of the audience or the, you know, the world community, is just talking about people of color specifically, because as Jasmine just said, we are left out of the advertisement, so to speak, the media that portrays what's happening in the average American lives. You hardly ever see people of color being a part of those type of events. And so, you know, when we go to talk about as Jasmine was saying, you know, the taking care of yourself and the eating properly was just not present, even in a place such as D.C. So that's extremely important to keep in mind as we go forth with talking about the work that Jasmine is so lovingly doing. I love your video. I mean, your docuseries, just absolutely. I think the documentary is excellent. For me, it introduced me to some additional plant-based eateries in Los Angeles so that when I go to visit family, I'm not struggling. I just make it over to Stuff I Eat. It's right there in Inglewood, close to the airport, and I just absolutely love their food. And so as we go about changing our taste buds, so to speak, did you find it easy, challenging? I know you cover some of it in the documentary, but I don't want to give it all away because I want all of our listening audience to go and to take a look at the superb job that you did with that documentary.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Well, thank you. Yeah, but as far as, so your question is, did my taste buds change?
Did you find it a difficult process as you went through that? Because I know our taste buds do change when we go from cooked animal eating to plant-based.
Oh, you know what? It's I did and I didn't. Because at the end of the day, anything, usually if you want to be really good at something, it's going to be challenging. Like, I've never seen someone get any kind of success, maybe get to the top of their company, start their own company, you know, go through a, do an entire marathon without challenging themselves. So the challenge was there. It wasn't that difficult for me because at the time, like, you know, I had access to a certain amount of money. So if you, you know, if you have access to enough money, you can go to Whole Foods or Sprouts or Trader Joe's and afford pretty decent replacements for a lot of the food you were eating before. And you can also afford to go to, you know, I'm in Los Angeles. They have all these trendy vegan spots. Some of them carry a higher price tag, but if you can pay it, it's not that big of a deal. So it wasn't super challenging for me. The difficult part of it is if you've been eating a certain way all your life, at that point it becomes an addiction. So it's almost like, okay, I've been smoking crack for 25 years. Now I have to get off crack, but I keep seeing all these advertisements for crack all over TV. All of my friends are smoking crack. So then it does. Like, sometimes it makes you want to do it just so you can fit in with the rest of the world. And that can be a real challenge.
Yeah.
The Go ahead, Star.
I was going to say yes, and that sometimes is the biggest hurdle because nobody wants to be alienated, you know, and you want to fit in with your crowd. You know, I remember having this given to me in the way of when you're eating or when you're with people in general, you mirror one another. So when two people are eyeball to eyeball and they're in a conversation, it's unconscious. You don't think about it. But one person might pull on their ear or something, and shortly the other person will tug on their ear. I mean, it's almost like it's a mirror thing. So when you're eating with people and you're eating the same thing and it's tasting really good and maybe somebody's eyes might roll back to the back of their heads or something like that, and they're licking their lips and, you know, you're in this communication of, yeah, this is really good. But now if one person is eating something totally different from the other person, you don't have that same connection. It's not that same mirror image thing going. And it kind of throws you off. So really is the hurdle. And that's what sometimes I go through being not only a vegan, but a lot of times being a raw vegan. And I've just learned to kind of turn it off, do my thing, because at the end of the day or the end of the meal, either I'm going to be very guilty feeling because I did what the other people were doing and I didn't stand in my own powerful shoes to do what's best for me, or I have alienated someone and they're having some, as they say, they're feeling a certain kind of way about me because I'm not like them. So I've struggled with that. I just have to do what's best for me, and that's what happens at the end of the day. So I said a whole lot to say I agree with you. I'm sorry. I'm kind of wordy that way.
No, and it definitely, and it helps if you get a community of people who also have similar goals. And I'm not saying people should, you know, if you have unhealthy friends, like, you should get rid of them. Like, oh, Shirley eats oxtail. She has to go. Not at all. But, you know, your birds of a feather do flock together. The people you hang with do, you know, influence who you become as a person. So if you are only surrounded by people who kind of don't fit what you want for yourself, you don't need to get rid of those people, but you should find other people that you align with so you guys can hold each other accountable and you'll have more balance when you're trying to go on a more positive journey.
That's true.
Yeah, that's why the crackheads try and stay away from each other. Right.
Right. Right. I was like, look, I got to get off this crack. I got to get up
And, you know, food also has a positive impact on our health, like you were saying, Jasmine. And so the prescribed or legal medications that the doctors will willingly and forcefully give us to correct various ailments, it's the same thing. You know, you can get hooked and addicted to those as well. But the food, it comes back to the food and its healing properties, the way that it's been designed for our bodies. And so as we take that into effect, like you said, you know, people were not taking care of themselves in a community where it's known for human excellence, and that didn't exist with the health aspect. So it's important. And you're a young person. So, you know, we see a lot of older people at times talking about, you know, making the dietary changes to live longer and like that. So how young were you when you decided that you wanted to be a vegan?
I learned about veganism when I was about 20. So I tried it when I was 20. I really liked it, but I was unable to sustain it because, you know, you're in college, so you're surrounded by so much junk food, and no one is thinking about, you know, nobody is thinking about, like, eating to heal chronic illnesses or anything like that. When you're young, you're invincible. You're still eating McDonald's and Domino's. But when I got into my kind of mid-20s, late-20s, that's when I really started seeing the dip, you know, because your body starts aging a little bit. So that's when you really start to see the healing power of food. And a lot of the little ailments you get that you think, oh, this is just, oh, all this acne on my face, this is just natural. Or, oh, these infections that I'm getting, these are natural. This weight that I'm gaining, this is natural. But then when you eat a certain way, all that stuff kind of dissipates. So that's when I became more, I guess, committed to veganism once I saw my health change on a small level.
And what was the first change that you saw? I know in the documentary you talked about having some issues around your period or something, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. So my menstrual cycle used to be the worst. Like, and again, I thought this was natural. Like, every, you know, I would use the really super thick pads, I would be in so much pain. I remember I would take Midol and I would OD on them. I think if you were supposed to have two, I was taking four, you know, because I was just in that much pain. I would get real bad bloating. When I switched to a plant-based diet, my period went from this scary monster to this cute little friend that visits once a month. I wasn't bleeding nearly as much. Like, I haven't seen a thick pad since I don't know when. It's, like, all ultra thin, no stomach pains. It was just it was a different experience. And I was just like, wow, I didn't have to suffer 1 week every month.
And how long did it take, or how soon into your plant eating experience did you start seeing the difference and seeing the change?
Oh, I noticed within I did a 30-day challenge. I noticed it instantly. Not instantly, but I noticed it over the course of the month. Like, over the course of the month, again, my period at the end of that month was smooth sailing. My digestive system, again, smooth sailing. Like, I didn't even know how it was supposed to operate. You know, it was just like when I ate plant-based foods, it's just like, oh, this is how, you know, like, my body is supposed to release this waste easily every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not supposed to be on the toilet for 10 minutes. Like, this should just be an easy 2-minute process. Well, that's how it is for me. Even the way that I smell changed. You know, like, my body odor wasn't as offensive. I had a lot of, my face started breaking out a lot. Again, I'm thinking it's just hormones. It's just natural. My skin cleared up. So a lot of things changed. But I was also, it was when I was eating not just vegan foods, but, like, healthy plant-based foods.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So,
well,
tell us what's the difference between...
Go ahead.
Us what's the difference between vegan and plant-based.
Oh, okay. So if you're vegan, that just means you're not eating any animal products or any byproducts from animals. And it's not, and honestly, it's beyond diet, too. You're not consuming, you're not buying lotions, you're not wearing shoes made from leather. Is you abstain from anything that contributes to the animal exploitation industry. So it's a very ethical choice. Eating plant-based foods means that the foods that you eat come from plants and are not heavily processed. So, like, take Oreos. Oreos are vegan, but Oreos aren't good for you at all. So if you're on a plant-based diet, you're going to get away from the Oreos. If you're on a plant-based diet, instead of doing the potato chip, that might be, like, potato chips might be around, like, I don't know, 24,000 calories per pound, whereas actual potatoes are only, like, 300 calories per pound. You're going to go for, like, the food that's plant-based but hasn't been as processed. With all that other, you know, with all these other, like, unnatural additives, or when they take the food and they strip it of all the fiber, they strip it of all the, you know, phytochemicals that are in the plant that help us fight disease. So you want whole foods, as many, you know, fruits and vegetables and nuts and legumes as you can possibly eat.
Awesome. Star, you were asking a question at the same time. We were both kind of coming at her.
Yeah, I forgot, but I have another question. So can you break down, because I heard you say phytochemicals. I know what that is. Sandy knows what that is. But tell our listening audience, because they're probably picking up on the word chemicals. So please break down that terminology, phytochemicals.
Okay, so the thing with food is you have your macronutrients and you have your micronutrients. So the macronutrients, which we tend to focus on, that's the fat, the carbohydrates, and your protein. And then you have your micronutrients in food. Those are your vitamins, your minerals, and your phytochemicals. So just think of phytochemicals as things that are in plants that are going to help fight disease, like that help fight diseases in the body.
So medicine.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Like when you think of a lot of the medicine that pharmaceutical companies give us, 50% of them come from plants. You know, they have phytochemicals in these plants that they put in medicine to help us cure disease. So think of those chemicals as like healthy chemicals that come from a plant source that help us fight disease, but they're not like actual artificial chemicals that cause a lot of the diseases.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Very beautifully put, very much so. And so one of the things that when you talked about how you started noticing change almost immediately when taking these medicines that come from plants, for myself, I noticed that when I eat, just like you made reference to, when I eat plants, my elimination period is so easy and so smooth, and sometimes multiple times during a daytime. And I have learned to take that for granted. However, I think it was the last week or something, I was eating a lot of stuff that really didn't have like the greens and things of that nature. And I really noticed how different it was. I was having some 20-minute, sessions in the bathroom, and I was like, and you know what? Your water intake hasn't been that good either. I mean, so whereas I've had people say to me after eating vegetables for a day or so how easy their elimination was, and they were like jumping up and down about it, but then they immediately went right back to what they were eating before, and I'm thinking, did you not kind of like connect the dots that one is a good thing and the other is going backwards? So it's so challenging sometimes to hear when people see a change in their body function or in their appearance or whatever, that they don't stick with the new thing long enough to see exactly where it will take them. And you mentioned earlier, it's probably because of being addicted to the food in the first place. So.
Yes, and there's so many reasons why people stick to what they stick to. Like, one, it's a thing where, you know, they might be addicted to it. Second, you know, like you said, it's a way that you feel included. You know, like sometimes no one wants to be the odd man out. And then we also don't talk about like people who have unhealthy emotional relationships with food. A lot of people in this country are suffering from mental illness or are very depressed and unhappy. And they feel like they're not where they want to be in life. And the only source of pleasure that they get is from, like, say, it might be watching TV or eating these foods that bring them, like, a certain joy while it's going in, even though it's not good for them in the long run. So there's just so many reasons why people eat the food that they eat. Or maybe they've been told, like, well, this is the way, you know, this is the way people in my culture eat. You know, they think that they're eating cultural dishes. And a lot of times people think that they think that they are eating healthy. So they might eat vegetables and then, you know, have a smooth digestive tract for a few days, but they've been told that chicken and fish, that's the best way to get protein. So when they go back to eating that way, they might be thinking, oh, I'm doing the right thing because I need to get my protein.
That is the number one question. So where do you get your protein? I wish I had a dollar for every time I've heard that. What kind of
right.
food could you What kind of foods can you think of that are plant-based, Jasmine, that will give people protein?
Honestly, like most plant-based foods have protein. You can eat avocados, any kind of most nuts and seeds have a higher protein count. Beans, legumes, soy products if you can tolerate soy. You know, even leafy greens, you know, have protein in them. And then when people ask that question, I'm just like, who are all these people that you know that are going to the ER for lack of protein? Because I know people who are going to the ER for diabetes too and high cholesterol, but I don't know nobody. I ain't met no vegan who had to go to the hospital for a lack of protein. That's just not, that's not a problem that I've heard of.
No.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's true.
And it depends on whose dollars are doing the educating of the public around food. So, you know, the milk industry and the animal industries, they're very well represented by lobbyists in government. And so they are allowed to put these ideas into our heads about, you know, the only way you get protein is from red meat, which is just totally false. But, you know, that's what we've believed. And the same thing with the milk, you know, like you got to have milk. You know, a human has got to drink cow's milk in order, you know, to have calcium in their bodies. And we just accept this stuff with no question. You know, that's like, well, yeah, that's right, that's right. Drink your milk. Even though for the majority of people of color, it creates indigestion. And I used to think it was just people of color, but I understand everybody suffers with that lactose intolerance. So,
yeah, and it's funny because when you say, like, oh, you got to drink your milk or you have to eat your protein, that is how people are learning about their health, through sound bites, just through, like, you know, eat your vegetables, make sure to eat chicken every day, drink your milk. You know, we're learning these, like, really simple concepts, but food, you know, in each food there are chemicals, and we are not learning about these chemicals, but we're putting them in our children. You know, we're feeding them to our children. We're feeding them to people we love. So I think for me, you know, part of my vegan journey, it wasn't even so much of, you know, oh, let me give up meat. It was more so, let me learn about meat. Let me learn about everything that I've been putting in my body and make an informed decision. Like, everyone going around saying, oh, well, where do you get your protein? Like, I mean, I could flip the question back on them, like, oh, okay, well, since we're talking about where I get my amino acids, where do you get your vitamin D? Where do you get your omegas? Where do you get, you know, your vitamin C? And most likely they won't even know, because all they know is that sound bite. You know, drink your milk, get your protein, eat your chicken. You know, but we need to, if we're eating this stuff and we see all these chronic diseases, you know, kind of taking root in our society, and it's going up. You know, you have more people dying each year from this stuff, and you have studies that show people in rural areas who don't eat Western diets are not suffering at the rate that we're suffering. It's just like, okay, well, 2 + 2 = 4. Let's start looking at the foods that we're putting in our bodies. And a lot of people don't want to do that, or, you know, they're not in a place to want to grow because of, you know, whatever circumstance that they might have right now that's not conducive to wanting to aspire to a higher self.
So let me get your opinion, Jasmine, on this. So now that we're more aware, I believe, of food and its effect or impact as we go through this virus situation, do you think people will be more open to receiving new knowledge, or listen to a new soundbite? I like how you said that. As far as, you know, what's going to be the sustaining foods for humans going forward?
I actually think that the change, to really make a big impact, like, the change will have to be on the policy level. Because sadly, you know, when you try to appeal to people's better nature or their conscience or what's best for them, people are like, at the end of the day, people are like kids. you can't expect kids, you know, when I was young and my mom, I lived with my mom, you couldn't expect me to do what was best for me. You could only expect me to do what was in my own self-interest. And that's how our American public operates. Like, we want to do what's in our self-interest, but not necessarily what's best for us, not necessarily what's best for the planet, and not what's best for the animals. So, like, every other big movement in this country, in order for there to be a shift on the government level, on the policy level, there needs to be change. Like, the reason slavery ended in this country, it wasn't because, you know, we touched one slave owner one by one and got them to, you know, try something different. No, things changed because Abraham Lincoln finally had to say, okay, we got it. And then everyone follows suit. When it was time to integrate schools, they didn't touch one principal at a time. They, you know, a policy finally had to be made. Like, okay, now it's time for us to integrate schools. And I think the same thing needs to be done with food in our country. Like, the government, they're going to have to look at this and they're going to have to go, you know what? We got to stop feeding kids food that's going to give them diabetes and heart disease and clogged arteries by age 50. And then when they stop, it won't be an option. And then everyone else kind of has to fall in line. But I think it needs to happen on the policy level if we want to see that big change.
Excellent.
Well, I was going to say, well, it's interesting that you would say that because about, you know, feeding kids food that's going to cause them diabetes. I'm thinking that big food and big pharma, you know, are so in bed with each other, and they, you know, they have the federal government just in bed with them. So it's to the advantage financially of big food, big pharma, big medicine to have kids eat the kind of foods that they eat so that they can be on medicine for diabetes and hypertension. I mean, as you know, these things are happening to children at a much earlier age now. And I'm sure that the government knows that it's the food that is being programmed through the commercials that they have on cartoons and all of that kind of stuff for the kids to ask their parents for the food and all of that. It used to be, they used to say back in the day, they wouldn't get sugar until, like, they was about 60 years old. Excuse me. Now, children as young as sometimes 8 and 10 have diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and high blood pressure as well from the junk food that they're eating. And you can see the trend going to other countries as the fast food conglomerates now are in India and Brazil and Mexico and all these other places that the people have always been slender and healthy. Now it's called Globesity. All over the world, you know, people are becoming obese and with all of these chronic diseases. So, you know, they know what's going on. It's time that the people are empowered with the information so that they can stop this, because it's all about the Benjamin. I just have to say that.
No, it is. And that dates so far back. Like, even if you look at monarchs from back in the day, you know, it's the kings weren't super skinny. You know, a lot of them, if you had access to wealth, then, you know, you have more people who are wealthy being greedy. You know, you have access to wealth, you can eat whatever you want. So before you even think of, like, I guess black people, we didn't have access to all this food. You know, when you're working on the plantation, you're staying active all day, you know, you're getting scraps from the garden or whatever you can grow yourself, you don't get that access. And then as soon as we got access, it's like we got a little bit of money. Instead of, you know, putting that towards healthier foods that's going to help us thrive, you know, we kind of just did what everybody else does when they get a little bit of money. We start getting greedy. We start buying things that we don't need all across the board.
Yes.
So It's just a mentality, and you got people, you know, people like us that are challenging that mentality and trying to get other people kind of hip to what's going on, because you fall into it, you don't even realize the system that you've fallen into, which is pretty much the system of killing yourself earlier than need be.
Mm-hmm. Overindulgence. Yeah.
Right.
And being consumers. I mean, with, you know, a lot of emphasis on that consuming part. So, Jasmine, your documentary is just incredible. It's called The Invisible Vegan, everybody. It's on Tubi, T-U-B-I, and you can watch it there for free. And one of the most impactful... Excuse me?
Also Prime Video.
Prime Video, okay. One of the most impactful aspects of the documentary to me is how you were able to bring the historical viewpoint into the movie, to incorporate that in, and then cite various figures in history that we know about as being vegans. Can you explain why that was so important for you to include that in your documentary?
Just to give, because a lot of times people look at, you know, plant-based eating as a white thing, and that annoyed, you know, it annoys me as much as if someone talks proper English, you know, for someone to go, oh, you're speaking white, you know, as if Black people are incapable of mastering a language, as if that's not an innate talent that we also possess. So it was important for me to show Black people, you know, to show not even Black people, just to show everyone that there is more to our culture than this one element that it's been limited to. Yes, we created soul food. Yes, you know, we made a delicacy out of scraps, and that was genius, and that was brilliant. But at the same time, that's not our only legacy. You know, like, don't dismiss us from different culinary traditions. Like, we have a history of also knowing how to prepare, you know, fresh plant-based foods, and that's a part of our legacy that's kind of been left out of food conversations. So I just wanted to bring it back in there. Like, hey, y'all, you know, our legacy is more than chitlins, but – in this country, whenever they talk to us about our history, it's usually in relation to slavery, instead of looking at us like, okay, slavery was one part of our history, but that's not who we are entirely.
Exactly. It's a brilliant move as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, because it's such a well-rounded viewpoint on veganism. So I certainly appreciated it, and thank you so much.
Oh yeah, no, I'm glad, because I saw so many documentaries on veganism, and I thought they were amazing, and they touched me in a certain way. And when I looked at them, I was just like, oh, but the only thing they're missing collectively is a lot of these are approaching the same, they're approaching the subject from the same viewpoint. So if you're approaching a subject from the same viewpoint, which is which was mainly like a white male viewpoint, you're gonna miss out on relating to different types of people. So I just wanted to make something that I would relate to, you know.
Yeah. All right, we've got a listener that is calling in with a comment or question. I believe that's Miss Madeline.
I am here.
Hey, darling.
Nice meeting you, Jasmine. I live in Arizona. I'm so grateful for you and your voice. Things are changing so rapidly that it's so important that we recognize one another for who we are and what we stand for. And what I stand for is liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And this what I call our time out is giving everyone an opportunity to delve into their own soul and find their truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole education system around the medical profession started in the early 1900s when Rockefeller decided that he was going to take control of our education system to teach the people who wanted to be educated in the medical profession. They were only allowed to teach them what the Rockefellers told them they were allowed to learn. They called alternative medicine quackery and was not allowed any longer. If we go back into before he took control, you can see it was like you had something going on and they picked some herbs and they said they mixed up a brew and they gave it to you and, you know, 10 minutes later you were right as rain, but not mm-hmm. any longer. And it's going to come to a screeching halt. The insanity that has been perpetuated upon us for, you know, 200 years is coming to a screeching halt. And I, for one, I'm celebrating. So to have you be a spokesperson for all the people, doesn't matter what color we are, for all the people, is giving us a way out of how we had thought was true, and it hasn't until right now. So that's what I have to say, and I appreciate you allowing me to speak it.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. And I completely agree with you. Even in the midst of this COVID situation, I think that, you know, our medical industry, in a sense, is failing us because, you know, while they're telling everyone to stay at home, which is great, they're also not telling people and stressing the importance of making sure you build your immune system up at this time. You know, like they say, a lot of the people who are affected by it are people who, you know, already have prior conditions. It's like, but why do we have a population with so many people who have so many conditions? You know, that's because we're not being properly educated about our body and what helps it run efficiently. So I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you so Madeline. Much for saying that, Matt. Excuse me, I almost called you Madeline. But Jasmine, because that is exactly my platform right now. You know, my goodness, we have learned all about how to wash hands. We've learned how to wear masks. And, hey, let me tell you, I've mastered that. I got a whole wardrobe full of masks now, okay? Because since I can't get my nails done, I may as well be matching my outfit with my mask, okay? Anyway, that's a whole nother show. But we've learned how to do the hand sanitizers. We learned how to do the social justicing, distancing. But no one is saying not one single word about building your immunity.
No idea. And simple things too, like, you know, like if this is a virus, you know, there are foods like, you know, garlic and onion that have antiviral properties. So it's just like, you know, why not tell people, hey, just FYI, a lot of foods have antiviral properties. Why not consume some of them? All these boxed foods have all these chemicals that tear down your immune system. Maybe leave those out. You know, it's sad that we're not getting that information.
On purpose. There's an agenda. So, and that would be another show. But why, you know, why tell someone that they can be in control of their own healing? Where would that lead to? Okay. We want them to be where they have to rely upon this serum that's coming. You keep on waiting now. And in the meantime, we're going to keep pumping this fear, confusion, and all of that into you so that once the serum is ready, then everyone will want to, of course, heal themselves. So they're going to run right over, stand in line, and get pumped up by Mr. Gates' serum. So, and when someone talks about being able to build your immunity with your food, it actually, as far as I'm concerned, maybe I might be a little sensitive, but it's actually like falling on deaf ears because we don't have not a clue that food is our medicine and medicine is our food. And that's why I'm so glad that you are leading the charge. And it seems to be coming from people your age now, because maybe the rest of the folks are too set in their ways, too set in the culture, because as Sandy alluded to earlier in the show, at a young age of about 22, a young Caucasian woman gave me a vegetarian cookbook. And honestly, I thought it was an oxymoron that the word vegetarian and black people could even occupy the same sentence. So, you know, I didn't think that that was anything that black people would do, but that it was beyond our ability to just eat vegetables. And, you know, so thank you so much for giving us a new paradigm to look at as far as how we consume food, let alone heal our body, and that you're making those two concepts into one sentence and one thing. So I so thank you so much.
Thank you. No, and not even just food too. Like, well, my documentary focuses on food, but even things like, you know, making sure that you go and walk for at least 45 minutes a day, making sure that you're getting enough sleep, making sure that, like, you're keeping stressful things out of your life. Like, all of these things are within our power. Like, we don't need vaccines. I'm not saying that we don't need all vaccines. I'm not a doctor or a scientist, but I'm saying to the extent that we're dependent on medicine, just a healthy lifestyle altogether can do the same thing. Like, if they wanted to stop so many diseases, it's like, yeah, take the chemicals out of the food. I'm in Los Angeles where I'm just seeing the city through clear eyes for the first time because it's always covered in smog. Like, of course you're going to have people dying of disease if we all breathe in poisonous air, you know? So we just need to make people more aware of this stuff. Like, hey, if we live the way we're meant to live, you know, our bodies will fight all viruses the way that they are meant to. But we got to do our part.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting that you would say that about the clear skies, because I lived in Los Angeles until I was 45, and not being able to see was just a part of the everyday. You know, like, it got to be a point where you didn't even worry about it being smoggy because that's just how it was. And I tell you, once I left L.A. and moved to Atlanta and I would go back to visit with family, I couldn't stay there longer than 5 days without getting sick. It was because my lungs had cleared out from all of that smog and being back in it. And it took me a few years to understand what this sickness was every time that I went. And my sister was the one that finally pointed out to me. She's like, you're not accustomed to all this dirty air anymore. So, yeah, it's a lot of those not spoken of situations that keep us sick, get us sick, and have us running to the doctor constantly for to help us to correct our health, or to have them to tell us what's wrong with our health. So, audience, we're on the downside of the show. I just wanted to make sure that if you have a question, a comment, or would like to share anything with our awesome guest this today, please do so by calling us at 516 931-9819, and you'll just push 1 on your dial. That alerts us that you want to speak live on air with us. So we have with us the wonderful, talented Ms. Jasmine LaVey, and she is just bringing us so much incredible information and a viewpoint about veganism and plant-based eating and actually the complete holistic lifestyle, because she brought up the fact of exercising on a regular daily basis and being stress-free and getting sleep, and water, clean water is also another important part of that aspect. But, yeah, because, you know, a lot of times we get stressed out and we can't sleep because we're stressed out, and that then lowers our immune system. So it's all a part. It all works together.
Mm-hmm. So, Jasmine,
so
I'm going to
bring
this
up. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Jasmine, let me ask you this. So you talked about the different restaurants that you were able to find delicious plant-based foods. What about the person that does not have the resources to go and eat out all the time? What kind of things did you learn how to prepare in your own home when you first started on your plant-based regimen?
Well, one thing that was surprising for me, usually when I ate beans, I would eat them out of a can, you know, prior to this journey. Because, I mean, beans weren't really a staple. But then once I turned vegan, I started making beans from scratch. You know, they're in the pot. You let them, you know, sit for like 2 hours and you're putting like actual garlic and actual onion, not just the seasoning, but the real, you know, the real vegetables, the real herbs. And I was surprised at how good they turned out. So I would say beans are a good staple, and they're very, you know, very affordable. Something like brown rice is a great base. Kale is a superfood, so I try to incorporate a lot of kale. I'll just saute it, you know, water, a little bit of oil. Like, a lot of people don't realize, like, how much fat is in oil. Like, that's another thing, like, just not knowing food. You know, people use olive oil, like, oh, this is healthy. Olive oil is, like, over 100 calories per teaspoon or something crazy. So, you know, be light on the oil. But seasoning the kale with, like, some garlic and some fresh lemon juice, that's a good go-to. I started really liking Brussels sprouts. Again, at first, I wasn't a big fan of Brussels sprouts, but the more you start eating this stuff, the more you start craving it. I would get heads of cabbage. Again, it's not super expensive. Eating that, incorporating just more fruits and vegetables into my diet. Like, I try to knock out 2 a day. If, you know, if the kiwi, mangoes, if those aren't on sale, you know, I'm just getting apples, oranges, and bananas, which are, you know, pretty cheap in price. Just knocking out, you know, 1 citrus fruit, you know, maybe 1 orange, 1 apple a day, if possible. So when you think about, you know, when you start getting into, like, the fancy, you know, Beyond Meat and the vegan crab cakes, like, that's where the price starts adding up. But if you keep it simple to, like, whole foods, you know, like your rice, your bread, your beans, your vegetables, your fruits, like, those aren't necessarily that much more expensive. And a lot of times, like, your body, your mind, like, you're better off with those foods anyway. Because even now, I don't, you know, I eat out if I'm going out with friends, but I don't like to eat out a lot, just because when people are preparing your food at restaurants, like, they're not thinking about your longevity. They're not thinking about the fact that you might be pre-diabetic. A lot of times they'll use, you know, cheap ingredients, and their priority is taste. My priority is health and wellness. So, you know, now it's almost a conflict of interest when I go to most.
I hear you about that, definitely. I very rarely eat out anymore because you don't know, like you said, their main interest is that it tastes good. But then I think about this term that I used to hear all the time, once past the lips, you know, the food is only going to be in your mouth for a few seconds, but the ramifications, once you swallow that food, will be with you for a long time. So if you are eating something that is loaded with salt and sugar and oil, you know, what is that going to do to your body? Will that put you more in the stroke zone because the oils are clogging up your arteries or whatever? So I've just learned to, you know, either go someplace where I can prepare food myself, like go to a salad bar, or go to a restaurant and order a nice salad, have my own salad dressing, and order a baked potato. And I am very, very happy. I'm there with my friends and family, and I'm at the table with them, and we're breaking bread, so to speak, together. They're doing their thing, and I'm doing my thing. But I know what I'm putting in my body. So it's not such a treat anymore to go to a restaurant, because each meal is another opportunity for me to love my body the way only I can do it. So.
Same here. Same here. And then you just know what you're eating. Because it's funny, I'll be eating lunch, and people will make comments like, oh, Jasmine's eating that rabbit food, or Jasmine's not eating real food. And I'm like, I'm not eating real food. I can identify everything on my plate. Like, if I'm eating a salad, like, it's just like, I know this is lettuce, this is tomatoes, you know, these are Brussels sprouts, these are nuts. Where the person on the other end of that comment is like, they're eating all this stuff out of a box with a bunch of condiments where they don't know half the ingredients in them. So it's just a matter of, like, just not even wanting to know what your food even is. Because a lot of people, it's like they eating food-like substances, but they're things that weren't even meant for human consumption.
So how do you... I know you live in Los Angeles now, and you're from Washington, D.C. How do you navigate through and around holiday meals with your family?
The people in my life, I have good people in my life. So when people invite me to their gatherings, like, usually they'll prepare something specially for me. And I'll even tell them, like, they don't have to. Like, I'll come with my own, you know, I'll come with my own dishes to make sure I'm taken care of. But a lot of times, yeah, I'll have people who want to cook for me. So it's not really that hard. But if you don't have people in your life like that, I would suggest when you go places, bring your own food and also bring enough for other people to taste as well. You know, like, there's certain things that, you know, bring some potato salad, you know, just put it on, you know, just put it with all the rest of the potato salad. You don't even have to tell people, like, oh, this is my vegan potato salad. Just let people enjoy it. And then they taste it and they're like, oh, this is some good potato salad. And you go, yeah, I made it. It's vegan. And then that's when you start, like, changing people's hearts about vegan food. Because sometimes if you say it's the vegan potato salad, people won't eat it, you know, because they're going to associate it with something that doesn't taste that great. So, yeah, just use it, you know, use those times as an opportunity. Everybody's sitting down breaking bread, like, use it as an opportunity to kind of showcase how good vegan food can taste without forcing it on people.
That's great. That's a great suggestion. Thank you.
So, Jasmine, how are you promoting a healthier eating style during this time? We talked about it in the very beginning with, you know, people are at home and hopefully are open to new ideas and new thoughts on eating. So you did the documentary again. For anyone that has not seen it, I strongly, strongly recommend it. It's called The Invisible Vegan. It's available on Tubi, T-U-B-I, and on Prime Video. And so what other avenues do you use? What other ways do you go about promoting the lifestyle that you now have?
Honestly, I just look at myself like I am a walking advertisement. You know, even when I don't, and I'm at the point where I don't have to try to be anymore. You know, if I get invited to shows like this where I can, you know, share my lifestyle with people, I even have one later today. So that's how I spread the word. And even just when people see how your lifestyle is working for you, you know, if I'm in good health and I'm in good spirits, a lot of people see that glow and they'll want to know, like, oh, well, what is she doing? You know, and they'll see the way I eat and they'll ask questions. If I'm eating a certain way, you know, when I eat my vegan food, I don't say anything about what anyone else has on their plate. But a lot of times if I'm somewhere where everyone's eating meat, they'll see that all I have is greens on my plate. Like, they'll ask questions. So I promote my lifestyle by answering their questions. And since I had a lot of, since the quarantine has kind of freed me up, I'm taking a holistic course right now just to further educate myself on, you know, just the healing power of lifestyle. So also just always, and that's another thing, you know, because whether you're vegan or not, like, you have some people in the vegan space where they feel like they've just learned enough and they're not open to learning new things either. You know, so you always have to be open. And, you know, as with nutritional science, like, things are coming out every year. So you want to make sure that if you are that person that people come to with questions, that you're also staying educated and you're not using old information to inform people.
Great point. Thank you. My son is truly observing how I move about, and because I can do me a salad, and I mean that salad be one of those big bowls that you would feed a whole family from, but I can eat a whole bowl of salad, and that's my meal for the day. You know, I can just sit there and just savor, like you say, you know, like, you know what's in there, and you're eating the carrots and the celery and whatever all you have in there. And so he was telling me just yesterday, actually, about a friend of his. He says, well, you guys actually are in the same type of eating habits. He said, but you just talk differently. So I appreciate you for sharing how you speak to individuals. And maybe our old heads will learn to do that too. Sometimes we get a little carried away in how we approach this this eating thing. So,
well, maybe
but
it's because
it's not even always it's not always the older people that get on my nerves personally. Like, sometimes it's the younger know-it-alls that just do too much. Because, you know, like, the younger people have a little bit more fire. So, you know, they want to argue you down. They can get a little bit more imperialist with their opinion. Where I feel like when older people approach it, they might be stuck in their ways, but they're not going to come at you with the same intensity. You know, they usually don't get to the point where, you know, they're yelling you down and it turns into a full-out debate. You know, it's a calmer situation.
Thank you for saying that.
And I was going to say, and maybe when you talk about the old heads that are in this lifestyle and have made a change, maybe they become a little more assertive in their delivery because they've lived longer, they've seen how a lifestyle that you won't change, what road it can take you down, and from their heart's sake, they're just wanting maybe to help you along. Because if I'd have known, you know, when I came down with diabetes, when I did, after being programmed that I was going to have it for the rest of my life, and I finally succumbed to that, had I known how to quickly turn that around, my life would have been so much better. My husband was forced to retire from the military before he wanted to because he had diabetes and he could no longer go out and do field duty. So, you know, when you see where a sickness might alter the path of a person's life, you know, and you know there's a solution, sometimes you just want to shake them and just say, hey, look, I'm trying to save you. But people have to want to save themselves, and that's something that I'm hearing you say we can learn from Jasmine. Give the gift and step back and let them do with it whatever they need to do with it.
Right.
Well, I have a gift that I would like to drop on the audience, the listening audience, and you two ladies before we close. And it's something that I picked up this morning during my my morning reading. It's called purification. And I actually opened the book to this passage. And it says here that this message comes as a help and not as an affront or criticism. Your vessel has become clogged by overuse of harsh chemicals, and the offering source is within your psyche. You've been ignoring your body's many signals and screams for relief from the steady ingestion of impurities. Perhaps you've also noticed a bump in your energy level, and greed of joy has lagged as well. Excuse me for reading so crazy here. My glasses, I'm not looking well. Maybe if I washed them, it would be better. Anyway, never mind. I digress. Never mind these past effects, though, as the solution is at hand right now. Now that you've heard this message, do not hesitate for even a moment to make new arrangements. You'll want to keep a sharp focus on your contents of your mind, speech as well, for the words that you think and speak are the very diet that supports or dwarfs you. Choose purity, and I promise you a changed outlook for your better. Follow your intuition's guide about making lifestyle changes. Stop abusing alcohol or drugs. Avoid processed foods such as sugar, white flour, and so on foods. Keep your thoughts and speech positive. Adopt a vegetarian or vegan diet. Go on a fast or detox diet. This card can also be a validation that your current healthful path is working. And that's what I'm going to leave as far as inspiration with us today.
That was beautiful.
Yes, yes.
Oh, amen.
Thank you. I thought that would be a perfect way to end your visit here with us, Miss Jasmine.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you.
So give us contact information, Jasmine, and any closing thoughts, suggestions, helpful hints that you can give to the audience during this very great time for us to incorporate new skills into our lives.
I would say, well, first, you guys mentioned you can find The Invisible Vegan for free on Tubi, or you can watch it on Amazon Prime or Quelly TV, which is a Black-owned streaming service. And we are on social media at The Invisible Vegan. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And I guess I'll just leave you with know why you do the things that you do. If it comes to things that you are putting in your body, you know, things that are touching your organs, that affects how your heart beats, how your brain runs, it's worth knowing what is in, you know, these items that you are putting into your body. So take your time, do your research, and when something is wrong with you, I'm not a doctor, You know, if you have an acute illness, you know, if you break your arm or get in a car accident, definitely run to the doctor. But if you have a chronic illness on top of seeing your doctor, please take the time to look up things and research them on your own. Look into alternative medicine. Look into holistic cures. It doesn't hurt to try. And I would encourage everyone, you know, even just look at veganism as a movement, even animal rights. You know, that didn't inspire me initially, but when I heard, you know, women like Angela Davis talk about it, then I became inspired. So, you know, don't just write veganism off because of the way that it's been presented in the past. Like, make sure you're looking at it from different entry points that resonate with who you are and where you are. And I guess I will leave you with that.
That sounds perfect, yes. Ms. Starr.
I'm so grateful to hear a young, wise woman as yourself stand up for the right of self-healing. Put down the idea that we have to continue to live with just maintenance of an illness. There is such a thing as healing the body from the inside out, and you can do it with your livid, which also means diet, but in this case, that we're putting live and good, wholesome food inside of us that is a healing agent. So thank you for holding the banner and leading the parade, Miss Jasmine. I love you.
I love you, too. Thank you guys so much for having me today.
We certainly appreciate it.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
With huge blessings and your continued love for humanity. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you. And you guys stay safe. Everyone, please stay safe and healthy.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Okay, and thank you, Ms. Madeline, for lending your voice to the show as well. We'll see you guys.
I love you so much. Yeah.
Yeah, I love you. And we will see you guys next Thursday. Thanks for being with us as we talked about the invisible vegan with the creator, Jasmine Leyva, and we're so thankful that she graced us today with her knowledge and wisdom. We'll see you next time. Stay safe. Be well.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.